Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to it, sports fans. It is the MKT show. My name is MKT. We've just watched Arsenal put on the most hypocritical performance of all time. You know, I remember when Arsenal fans used to say Jose Mourinho is this boring, boring Chelsea. I text a friend of mine, good old Dale. Arsenal loves Arsenal. They've put him through the ringer last couple of years. And his first thing is Arteta Masterclass. Now, I remember the very same Dale when Mourinho was winning, churning it out. When Ancelotti was winning, churning it out. Going, it's so boring. And now he's saying, this is the difference between last season and this season. The difference between listen to this. The difference between Arteta and Wenger. He invokes Wenger's name with Arteta. But I guess if you haven't won for 20 years, you're just going to cling on to the good times. Like, you don't really have like, oh wow, this is what good times really look like. You're just like, Arteta's the greatest thing ever. Recency bias, just block out the last sort of 10 years of Wenger. They don't exist. Forget the Invincibles. Forget that. Forget the three titles. Who cares? It's incredible. To invoke Wenger's name after that heresy of a performance. I mean, that was completely haram, what I've just seen from Arsenal. And the reason Arsenal fans don't get out there is because I remember that. I'm not 19. I didn't just start with Instagram watching football. I remember what Arsenal fans were saying. And Dale is older than me. And Dale, who's football mad, has the nerve to tell me, masterclass. Oh, hilarious. So basically, they went to Man City. City ground. And camped, right? Did Arsenal have a shot in the game? I cannot remember. One of the most boring games I have ever watched. Like, genuinely, not just like a big game. It wasn't even like, they didn't have like a counter-attack plan. You know, at least with Mourinho, you knew it's tight. And then we get the ball, Rob and Duff. You know what time it is. Drogba's going to hold it up, flick it around the corner. Joe Cole, something's going to happen. With Arsenal, there was no plan. So I just, Gabriel Jesus on the left, Havertz up front. I guess they're hoping that with Havertz's power, he could be a point man, but he can't play with his back to goal. It's his one limitation as a centre forward. I really like Kai Havertz as a player, even though I think he's struggling to fulfil on the early promise, but he's still young. But what a boring game. What a horrendous way to go and have a go at the title. Like, is that it now? It's over. Like, you can't win. The Arsenal can't win like that. Is that what we're talking about? No. Because I don't mind if that was Arteta's way, but it's not. Whereas that was Mourinho's way. Mourinho, you know, most Portuguese coaches are pragmatic coaches. It's within the school of teaching. Yes, that was embarrassing for Arsenal. It should be. I mean, some people will say tactical masterclass or whatever they're going to say, but it was embarrassing. Have some shame. Have some shame. Anyway, what's on the show today? I'll tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. The two mailbag questions are going to be the second half of the show. So where I was right, where I was wrong. And then I've got, wow. One is about the Hall of Fame. And if you've listened to the show before, I've got problems with it, but we'll discuss it. And then the other is an absolute, oh boy, oh boy. It's an interesting one because I'm in the center of the second one. And it is, I mean, I'll give you a little teaser in case you're like, oh, I just listen for the jokes, you know. I don't watch football or whatever, which is crazy. I don't know what you're doing not watching football. But essentially, The second one is a bit of a doozy because it entails everything that South Africa is, modern day, what Madiba died for. It is the age-old question of interracial dating. Oh, but it's a cracker because, listen, I spoke to 4 friends about it and none of my friends that are in South Africa at the moment. So I decided not to reach out to my friends. And by the way, I was giving it a good think. Of the people that are in South Africa, and my best friend included, who I was just the best man for, and I'm still the best man, by the way, not just at the wedding, I'm the best man in general. But even he's not married to a black woman. And the rest of them. The one guy who's white in the sort of extended friendship group is married to a black woman. So even he's had to mix the paint. So I don't know if he felt the pressure. I don't know what happened there. I mean, his lady's fantastic. She's an amazing woman. But it's in and around that. The one phone call, and I can't tell you what he said. I called my little nephew. I say he's little. He's a big man now. He's bigger than me. He's man's gymming. He's taking it seriously. Taking his study seriously as well. After we had a chat about a year ago, which is a pretty interesting, smart guy. Anywho, gave him a call because I needed to hear from the source. I needed to hear from the source. What these youth are they like we were? You know, we were the first black guys in those schools. You know, in the mix with Kim and them. But now it's just like, okay, cool, whatever. Guys with me. Now he. Let me tell you something. Let me start it off for you like this. Because it's in the mailbag. We'll finish off with this. Let me say this. My family has known from early on. And my mom's told me. Like, and as I've gotten older, this has gotten tighter. My mom's known since I was young. They expect a Scandinavian, an Eastern European. And even then, we stop at Serbia. Like, I've even got a limit there. So Central, sort of Czech, Slovak, Croat. We work in that zone. I lived in Russia. Not sure I could marry Russian. And never Serbian again. That was too wild for me. But they know at home what to expect. Like, they're not expecting umagoti. They're not expecting, you know, I don't know, mulugadi. There's no mulugadi coming home, guys. They know that. They know what time it is. We'll discuss that on the other side. My cousin, my little nephew is worse than me. He's worse. He is worse than me. Like, I thought I was like, yo, am I losing my uhuru points? My little cousin's, he's worse. In fact, I cannot tell you what he was saying to me on the phone. It would be career suicide. It would be social suicide. But he's not playing that. He ain't playing that at all. And he's less Yarbru than me. I mean, he's full on Yarbru. Hilton kid. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, St. Stidians and then Hilton. Like, what are we going to do here, you know? But, yeah, he's not playing. So that's what the mailbag is about. Phenomenal stuff. It's going to be, well, let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. I'll be as honest as I can be. As honest as I can be. Because this question comes up a lot in my life now, by the way. But this was asked in the mailbag. So we'll get into that and a little bit more later. Somebody sent me an email wanting to have a meeting about advertising on the show. MKT@themktshow.com. Feel free to email me if that interests you. Yes, we will be visual soon. Yes, we will be back in studio soon. Yes, all of these things are coming. So it won't just be a podcast. It'll be on here, on YouTube, and currently in discussions with television. Television runs the nation around the world. If you don't know that song, I can't help you. one of my favorite bands of all time. Saw them in Prague a couple of years ago. Absolutely unbelievable. Daft Punk live, by the way. Just unreal. It's Daft Punk, by the way, for those who didn't know. It's not my favorite band, but they are one of my favorite. Top 10. Top 10 and probably top 3 live acts. If you are, I don't know if they still perform, but if you can see Daft Punk live, they are just behind Depeche Mode. Now, Depeche Mode, top 3 favorite bands. And if you have not seen Depeche Mode, I think they might be playing their last few concerts. They are unreal. And if you're listening to this and you're below the age of 30, you've got no idea who Depeche Mode are. But I really love synth pop. It's probably my favorite genre of music. Depeche Mode live. If you're making money right now and you've got some shillings to put out there, go and watch Depeche Mode live. If not them, Daft Punk. Let me tell you something. Whoa, what a show. What a show. All right, let's get into it. Going to be a pretty long show, I think, because of the mailbag. The mailbag. Hope you had a great week, whatever it is you are doing. Whatever you are doing, I hope it's gone well. Hope you've had a good... It's April, by the way. We are one quarter or a third into the year. Wowzers. Hope it's gone well for you. Tax season for some. Pay your taxes, guys. Pay your taxes. You know what I mean? You got to pay your taxes. Or don't. I mean, like, whatever. Who am I to tell you? I mean, do your best to pay your taxes, though. Just so you don't get arrested. I know what you're thinking. If you're in South Africa, where do our taxes go? Where's my country gone? As Mr. Garrison said. Where's my country gone? All right, get into the show. I just want to start off with this. The English Premier League being back. EPL's the king. And for those who know, I love the NFL. I think it's the second best product, but nothing is the EPL. I mean, Newcastle, Brentford, Burnley against 10 men of Burnley getting a draw. Should have beaten Chelsea. Brentford against United. Should have won 5 or 6. Incredible performance by Onana and United's defense. Newcastle coming back. Absolutely incredible. You know, one of the most undervalued things in the world are the English Premier League television rights. And I just think to myself, when this league figures out the US and Indian market, it is just going to be unaffordable. And then only Google, Meta, you know, like Musk, like all these guys, then those guys, Yahoo, the juggernauts, right? You've got to be a $1 trillion company because the rights are going to go $20 billion a year. I mean, they're about $6 billion now for a couple of years, which is so cheap because the NFL in lockdown signed a 10-year deal for $200 billion a year. Now, that's multiple. That's like CBS, Fox, ESPN, whatever. But it's still $20 billion just for the American rights. So, I mean, we hear like the English Premier League rights are like $9 billion. And Sky will win it, and then it'll be over like 3 years. It's like $3 billion a year. It's nothing. The NFL is $20 billion a year just in America. The NFL is such a money-making machine. Now, they can obviously do that because there is no promotion, relegation. They know that every market, you can basically market for 30 years. You know it's going to be there. You know the Baltimore Ravens are going to be there in 30 years, although actually they moved. And every now and then it moves, right? But largely speaking, 32 owners, they're all in it together. It's a scheme, right? Like those guys know what time it is. The problem with the European system is, number one, they don't take the entertainment side seriously. But number two, it isn't the collegiate model. Now, the collegiate model, just so you know, is there is no relegation in America. That promotion relegation is such an unstable, which is why the Super League wanted to come along, right? The promotion relegation thing is such an unstable long-term business thing because what happens when Nottingham Forest are the kings in the 70s and 80s and then they disappear for 30 years? Leeds disappear for 20 years. You know, these are some of the biggest names, the biggest brands. Like, just imagine if the New England Patriots just didn't play in the NFL for 10 years after what Tom Brady's done. But you've put 20, if I'm CBS and I've put, let's say, $90 billion over the next 10 years into the product, and then the New England Patriots aren't there, and the Baltimore Ravens aren't there, and the Pittsburgh Steelers aren't there within like 5 years, what are we doing? You know how long it takes to build brand equity? Like, Man City are finding this out, right? Which is why allegedly there's 115 charges. They've had to jet fuel their funding, right? And their books. Put some steroids in those books, allegedly. Want to avoid those illegalities there. I want to get a letter in the post, you know what I mean? So, I get it. I get it from America, but as soon as the Premier League figures out the US, India, I don't know if you can ever figure out China. There's just too many walls there. Literally and figuratively. But if the Premier League figures out just the US, like India is a very complex market. If the Premier League can figure out the US over the next 10 years, it becomes a $1 trillion company. I mean, it was gone for 2 weeks. The international football, what a waste. So disgusting. So I thought that was just great to have back. If you're a sports fan, and if you're not a football fan, I can't help you. Like, weird that you're listening to this podcast, because this is basically a football show, right? I mean, I'll talk cricket every now and then, but cricket's dead anyway, and rugby is dead, and unless it's the Springboks. The only rugby I want to talk is Springboks or Blacks, and then when Ireland, England, Wales play us, and France, like, whatever. All the Northern Hemisphere teams, whatever. Like, when they play those two teams, there's only two big dogs in rugby. All Blacks are the second biggest team. South Africa, obviously, 4 World Cups, which is the most important tournament. We are the best. We're playing Ireland soon. Ireland talking about being the best in the world. What are we? I mean, what a joke. What a joke. What a joke. English Premier League, king of them all. King of them all. What a weekend. Man, Newcastle, what a game. That was to start things off. That was the appetizer. That was the appetizer. What a weekend. Brentford, Burnley, wowzers. Fulham. If you didn't see that, Muniz, what a goal. What a player, that kid. The stories. Ugh. Are Everton going to get relegated? Nottingham Forest. Oh, my goodness. What a league. And they're starting to figure out the entertainment / that side of it, tying me into the stories even better. I mean, the storytelling's always been great, but it's felt organic, and we've had to work for it. But now they're starting to get it. They're starting to get it. And I love it. It's the best league in the world. It's the best sport in the world. What a time to be alive. If you want to get in the DMs, love to hear your thoughts. Maybe you like another sport. You know, some people like, I don't know, motor racing. Forget that out of my face. It's so boring. I've told the story before. My father took me to Monza when I was younger. That's the Italian Formula One. It's so boring. You see the cars. So let's say, I can't remember, is it 70 laps or whatever? You see the cars like once every 4 minutes. Like, I don't get why you would go to a racetrack unless you're in the pit lane. Like, I'd love to go to the Formula One and be in the pit lane. Like, fist bumping Lewis Hamilton, you know what I mean? Danny Rick, me and myself at dinner, Danny Ricciardo, oh my dear, Ringa Donga, Bonga, Australia, mate. Australia. I'd love that, Danny Rick, you know what I mean? Oh, you want to go to Wimbledon, mate? You know what I mean? Hangs out with David Beckham at Wimbledon, that guy, Danny Rick. He seems awesome. I've never watched the Netflix show. I don't even know what it's called. Drive and Survive, or not interested at all. Motorsport is such a snore fest. It is such a snore. Like, if there's no ball for me, golf, I'll watch majors. Like, LIV has obviously ruined everything there. Or I wouldn't say ruined it. It's just, it's going where it is going. So I watch the majors. Like, I love watching golf. You know, the big stuff, though. It has to have the good players. So I don't watch any more PGA. Like, just watch the big stuff. Rugby, obviously. Cricket, obviously. Tennis. I'm not feeling this new generation. The women's game's in trouble. The women's game is in trouble because they don't have Serena anymore. and the new women are so boring. Like, you need, you can't have everyone be like an altar boy, you know? Or like, you can't have everyone just be yes ma'am, no ma'am. That doesn't work. Serena was an antagonist, and then she's whipping everyone. People say they hate dominance, but everyone loved Schumacher because it was like, can we fight this guy? And Schumacher was a bit of an a-hole. Like, Lewis Hamilton, he's trying to be... like, I don't feel the Lewis Hamilton thing. Like, he doesn't make me feel anything. He's great, it's clear. But he doesn't make me feel anything. He's just like such a corporate guy, and then he's doing the fashion thing. So I think he's trying to, like, Lewis Hamilton's trying to be cool with everyone. I don't like those kinds of people. Like Mr. PC, I don't like PC people. So they make me very weary. Like no one's PC behind closed doors. Like, people have strong thoughts and dogmatic thoughts on a range of things. You can't always be perfect. You can't. Like, Lewis Hamilton's doing too much for me in that sense. But the greatness can't be denied. Right? And it was good under Lewis for a while. It was good under Lewis for a while. I don't know if... I think Verstappen will be good for the sport because he's got a bit of an a-hole in him. Like, Lewis just doesn't have that. He just wants to drive, you know? Drive and go to a fashion show, talk to his dad. I don't know if his father's still alive. RIP if he isn't. But, you know, but I will not watch motorsport. Oh my God, it's so boring. MotoGP, so boring. So boring. Can't do it. So my life is EPL, NFL, the Springboks, the All Blacks. And even then, I've actually made a mistake. EPL, number one. NFL number two, American college football number three, because that's the third best league in the world. Rugby, and then the Ashes. Like, I refuse to watch any other cricket. So, love to hear people's thoughts at MKT Inspires. What do you watch? Do you enjoy it? Is the English Premier League the best? Does it have any competition? Do you like any other sport? Do you like tennis? I think tennis is in big trouble. One of the things that the three male stars gave you is they're all such different personalities as well. So you could fall in love with either and then hate another. Like, you're deeply entrenched, you know? Like, tennis has just been spoiled. Like, generally, Effenberg and Roger and all of these guys were kind of split up. But to have all three of the GOATs in one go, like, women's tennis has never had that, which is why I don't think it's ever experienced the growth it needed to really become a force. Because imagine if, like, Steffi Graf, Serena, and Monica Seles were all at the same time. Sanchez Vicario. What's it? Arantxa Sanchez Vicario. Imagine those four were cooking together. Now we're cooking. You know what I mean? Now we're in it. Now we're making documentaries. Like, Serena's just... okay, Serena. But imagine if it's like... so, male tennis kind of had, you know, the brat in the 80s with Effenberg coming just after him into Sampras and Agassi, and then out of that you went into Roger, and then from Roger at his peak along comes the left-handed maestro from Spain, Rafa Nadal, and then you get the Serbian non-vaxxer, and that was just like they just kept pouring fuel onto the fire at their peak. So male tennis has been so lucky to get those three together. I think it's dead though. Because all these, you know what goes against some of these, this new age? And it's happening a little bit to football, got to be honest. They're all too rich now. So they're all buddy-buddy and like it doesn't feel like there's a rivalry, you know? And back in the day, and maybe it's a generational thing, like, I could feel the hate between Roy Keane, Gary Neville, and Patrick Vieira. So now everyone's millionaires quite early as well. It makes you soft. Like, being wealthy makes you soft. It does. It just does. It's very unique to be Elon Musk and be a like a trillionaire, Steve Jobs trillionaire, still be the hardest working person at your office? Like, once these kids make it 1920, they're millionaires. And they all get along now, and social media, they all, you know, they all generally have the same agents. They play international football together. You're not going to have Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham who play for the same club and won't even speak to each other. It's not going to happen. It's a different generation. Which, good or bad, it is what it is. The world moves on. Like, let's not get stuck in our era. So I don't know if tennis can, and tennis is already like a hoity-toity sport, like be gentle with one another, you know? Quite a PC, high LSM sport. Like tennis and golf, do not apologize. Like Formula One, we're going to have Rolex as a sponsor. There's no Swatch there. Maybe at a tournament in Switzerland, but, you know? Like, we got Maserati as a sponsor. There's no Toyota sponsoring the tennis. No. We do not play that. We are not for the working class, and we are not even going to pretend to be. So maybe that's like a closed shop anyway. And they're like, oh, excellent. The less people we have is better. We don't want to mix with the help. Is what I imagine tennis people are saying. At MKT Inspires, although otherwise MKT@themktshow.com. Love to hear your thoughts on what's cooking right now. As I do every Monday, might as well get into it. I tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. If you are listening to the show for the very first time, welcome. Be a friend, tell a friend. Please do share. Like, share, subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, by the way. Because we still only have when we stopped the show 2 years ago, just so I can explain what happened there. Went to America for 6 months, you know what I mean? Then I just haven't come back to YouTube. I sold all my stuff. And now I have returned. And then I worked in agency, and I was producing and doing punditry around the world. No big deal. For the last sort of 18 months. But I'm out of agency, and this is what we're doing now. Back again in the mix. So do subscribe, please. Because it looks very weird. Although, whatever, it's not active. It's not coming up on people's pages. Got 6,000 listeners to the show, but only 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. But it makes sense, because the audio podcast has still been going. So if it is your first time listening, I'll make predictions. And they may be long-term predictions, by the way. Might have made them 3 months ago. About a player, about a team, about a result. An ongoing theme, maybe, in the show. So I'm happy to tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. And, you know, I feel it is appropriate on this weekend where the religious folks say he is risen. To say, am I on that level of morality? It's not impossible. It's not impossible. I am definitely not. I mean, a lot of people listening to the show, including myself, might go, does it really matter? Is he real? I don't want to start getting into that. But he is risen, you know, the height of morality. And that is the ability to say when I was right, when I was wrong. So every week, every Monday, I say where I was right, where I was wrong, where MKT was right, where MKT was wrong. Predictions, thoughts that I've had in private on social media over the months. And then I break it down every single Monday. Welcome if it is your first time listening. All right, let's get into it. Where I was right, where I was wrong. Where I was right, Harvey Barnes, he's back. 2 goals for the winner. I told you, I think he should still go to the Euros, by the way. He's the best natural English winger. Because what I like about him, and you will have seen it, is he really does what they call in football, get chalk on the boots. That type of winger doesn't really exist anymore. And he plays on the left, and he's happy to go left or right. And you saw in his performance as soon as he came on, he is absolutely unreal. Because he gets really, really wide, and he stretches the game. So the wing back now can invert or go outside. And Harvey Barnes has tremendous movement as well. And he does the link up play. So he can dip inside. He will go to the line, cross off the left, go to the line, take him on, whip it in off the right. He's a tremendous winger. And he's the only English winger who's like that. They don't really actually have a genuine winger in the English sense, except Harvey Barnes. I would take him to Euros if he's fit, purely to give you that crossing option. Because these wingers now very rarely cross and they just leave it to the wing back. And these wingers now don't take the responsibility, as you see with Jeremy Doku and these types of wingers, to take the man on and whip him the ball. I told you, I was absolutely right. Harvey Barnes back in the mix, match winner for Newcastle. Where I was wrong, Man United haven't turned a corner. I thought they turned a corner with that Liverpool performance. They have not. Wow, they look bad against Brentford. They are bad. The midfield's terrible. McTominay is not a top half player. Like, he should be at Burnley. He is terrible. He's like Conor Gallagher bad. And I like Conor Gallagher, but he's just technically so inept. I cannot believe Conor Gallagher is in the England squad. Man United have not turned a corner. I was dead wrong there. Where I was right, Anthony Gordon, two assists. They were both penalties. The boy special. He's got that ability. I said in Garnacho, I saw it in a young Cristiano Ronaldo. Not only will he become a fan favorite because he's got that kind of annoying personality, but he wants the ball and he shows. And at that level, if you show, they'll give you the ball. There's showing and there's showing. Anthony Gordon is brave on the ball and he wants the responsibility. For one so young, 21 years old, 22 years old, to want that responsibility at a massive club like Newcastle, it tells you there's something about him. Absolutely love him, along with Harvey Barnes, match winner for Newcastle. And they really do lean on him with all these injuries, with Tonali gambling every 15 minutes and being out for 10 months. Where I was wrong, Chelsea are worse. It's week 30 of the league season. I thought the progress would be there. I just don't get it. They are worse. There's no style of play with or without the ball. Listen, it doesn't matter. You can see it with Wolves, with Gary O'Neill. It doesn't matter how new you are in a team, right? We are all educated sports fans now. In football, there's something called principle of play. So it doesn't matter what formation you play. None of that stuff matters. The principle of play, for those who don't understand it, is are we tight when we don't have the ball and we open up when we don't have it? Are we playing, because it doesn't matter if you're playing low block, mid block, high block. It doesn't really matter how you're doing it, with or without the ball. Is the principles of play are we compact? Like, being compact is a principle of play. We are not easy to pass through, right? And then when we open up, we pass the ball quickly. What the principle of play is, does the ball move quickly from A to, I mean, at that level, for those who don't know, you've got about up to option F. That is prescripted, by the way. There are moves in football. A lot of people don't realize this. Patterns of play, right? And even patterns of play come after your principles. So are your principles to move the ball quickly? Are you going to slow it down? Are you going to work it through the midfield? Chelsea have no principle of play where you see repetition and you're like, oh, this principle of play is leading to this pattern. They're awful. They're worse after 30 games. I'm extremely worried. I was wrong there. Where I was right, Son Heung-min is the best left wing in the world. I include Kylian Mbappe. I include everyone. Rodrigo at Real Madrid. Vinicius. Because none of those guys give me what Son gives me. Up and down. Son can do everything those guys can do. Right? Don't tell me he can't dribble. Don't tell me he can't cross. Don't tell me he can't dip inside. He can play in the number 10, play up front. He can do everything they can do. And he gives me the tactical flexibility. Low ego. Son Heung-min is good enough to be at Real Madrid. Do not tell me. Like, I know people love Kylian Mbappe. I don't get it. But don't tell me if Son Heung-min was French that there wouldn't be a hot debate of where can we play Mbappe so we can start Son Heung-min. You tell me. Like, what can't this guy do? Unbelievable first touch, dictates the tempo, will drop, he's the captain. I mean, he's just, for me, he's the best in the world. He's the most well-rounded left wing in the world. He's an 8 out of 10 at everything. I would argue a 9 at finishing and creating chances. He's just unreal. He's just unreal. The best left wing in the world. I've been saying it for 2 years, Son Heung-min. Where I was right, Bayern finished. Der Klassiker loss. And it's over now. And Harry Kane's learning that it's not so easy. And I said it about Harry Kane when he left. I said, you won't feel as loved ever again like you do at home. Just be very, very clear about that. That loss in Der Klassiker, I saw some of the goals, the two goals. Ugh. I saw Harry Kane's face. Maybe he never wins a trophy. Maybe he's just destined to be that guy who never wins anything that matters. Now, it's Germany. Listen, Xabi Alonso will leave next year. If Harry stays another 3 years, Bayern Munich will dominate and be back on top. So, I was dead wrong. Bayern are finished. I was dead wrong. I thought they could come back. I thought they're a big club. I thought they'd stabilize, but I was wrong. Bayern are finished. They are finished in this iteration. And you've heard that they are talking about bringing back a guy they fired. He found out on social media, by the way, Julian Nagelsmann, that he was fired. It has now been confirmed by Plättigol that Bayern Munich have been back in touch with Julian Nagelsmann, who is now the Germany coach. What a shambles. What a shambles. That is where I was right. That is where I was wrong. Love to hear your thoughts at MKT. That's Mike Kilo Tango. MKT Inspires. Otherwise, MKT at the MKT Show to get into the mailbag. Or have your thoughts. Or give your thoughts on the show in general. He is risen. God bless you, or whatever people say. Let's get into the mailbag. Going to finish off on the mailbag. It's going to be a bit of a doozy. All right, let's get into it. Let us get into it. All right, we're going to start off with the first one from Otile Mokgale. He's saying English Premier League Hall of Fame. What is going on here? So he's got 2 points. He says, is the Hall of Fame already losing its weight so early into its introduction with the caliber of candidates it's putting up? Which I think is a great point. I do think it's a great point. Because if you've seen what they're doing, I mean, I can't do it. I really, really can't with some of what's going on. And then he wants to know, for you, what is your criteria for the Hall of Fame in the Premier League? So I'll give that at the end. But let's get into that first point. Still a little bit sick. But on the back nine. Definitely. And in fact, I'm on the 18th here. I'm on the 18th. He says, is the Hall of Fame already losing its weight so early into its introduction with the caliber of candidates it's putting up for nomination? So for those of you who don't know, here's what you need to do to get into the Hall of Fame. It started in 2021, the English Premier League Hall of Fame. In order for players to get in, the inductees must achieve one of the following. Not all of them, one of the following. 250 overall appearances in the league or 200... appearances for a single club in the EPL. They must win the EPL Golden Boot or Golden Glove. They must be voted English Premier League Player of the Season. They must win 3 English Premier League titles or more. Or they must get 100 EPL goals or 100 EPL clean sheets. So let's start off by who's in. Right, and I've got a problem with some of these, but let me just tell you who's in. Thierry Henry, Eric Cantona, Roy Keane, Frank Lampard, Dennis Bergkamp, Steven Gerrard, David Beckham, Wayne Rooney, Patrick Vieira, Sergio Aguero, Vincent Kompany, Peter Schmeichel, Paul Scholes, Ian Wright, Tony Adams, Petr Cech, Rio Ferdinand, Ashley Cole, Sir Alex Ferguson, and Arsene Wenger. Those are the people that are in already. Here's my thing. Not everyone should get in, right? I think some of those people shouldn't be in, but not everyone should get in. And it's becoming a problem for me in the NFL I think some years nobody should get in. Nobody should get in. Because for Rio Ferdinand to be in there ahead of Sol Campbell, Nemanja Vidic, and John Terry, they're all better than Rio Ferdinand. That's very, very clear for anybody who's watched football. Like, I just do not understand what you need to have seen to know that John Terry is better than Rio Ferdinand. Like, what are we doing? Like, what is Ian Wright doing in ahead of Andy Cole, Ruud van Nistelrooy, RVP, Robin van Persie, Freddie Ljungberg? It's a joke. Ian Wright's a hero of mine. I want to be honest with you. So when I was growing up, there weren't very many black players. And I can't stand John Barnes. So Ian Wright, and I hated Arsenal growing up. But Ian Wright was one of my heroes. So I don't want to mess around and say I don't love Ian Wright. He literally is one of my football heroes. He's one of the reasons I fell in love with football. But he's not better than Robbie Fowler. He's not better than Andy Cole. He's not better than Ruud van Nistelrooy. He's not better than Robin van Persie or Freddie Ljungberg. Why is he in there? And I get it. What's happened is they're letting fans vote. So it becomes a joke. It's a popularity contest. I'll get to that in a little bit. Here are some of the nominees, though. Here's my biggest problem. Remember, this is the Hall of Fame. Michael Owen, Les Ferdinand, Matt Le Tissier, Gary Neville, Teddy Sheringham, Jermaine Defoe, Eden Hazard shouldn't be nominated. This is the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Longevity or Hall of Very Good. Like, it's not good enough for those people to be nominated. I'm sorry. Like, Eden Hazard is not as good as Arjen Robben was. Although he may fulfill the criteria, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Sorry. Like, I'm sorry, Eden Hazard, his career was not as good as Joe Cole, and I'm a Chelsea diehard. I'm sorry, he's not. He's just not. He isn't better than Joe Cole. He's not. He had 18 months where he was unplayable. But we've now seen, didn't take it seriously, eating way too many hamburgers, and this is what happens. Fatty McFatster now injured. And, I mean, you saw Eden Hazard looked, he looked like he was retaining water weight like a pregnant woman in the charity game I just watched where Arsene Wenger was coaching. It's embarrassing, but whatever, it's fine. He can live his life. He's had a great career. And that's why it fell apart at Real Madrid, right? Because you pitch up there, it's like, no, dude. Here, we don't pitch up to preseason training like Gareth. Once Gareth Bale started to take that attitude. It's not the Hall of Longevity. It's not the Hall of You're Very, Very Good. It's the Hall of Fame. Like, where's Steve Bruce? Where's Gary Pallister? Where's Dennis Irwin? But the problem is they're letting fans vote. And it started in 2021. So now, if you're not on FIFA, if you're not on social media, like, Dennis Irwin isn't a social media type of player. Dennis Irwin is twice the player Gary Neville could ever dream of being. Could ever dream of being. Now, here's the issue for Pallister and Bruce is everyone will say they're not modern day centre-backs, but they're better centre-backs within the context of their time than Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand could barely make the England team. Like, it was clear. It was Sol Campbell and it was John Terry, and then Ferdinand would come in every now and then. Should never have been in that 2010 squad. Like, what are we doing? Sol Campbell is so much... In fact, Ledley King was better than him. It's just the injuries. And listen, availability is a skill. So Rio was better in that sense as well. He just outlasted Ledley King. But there's a conversation to be had there, you know? Like, if there's a conversation to be had, and I love Ledley King. Like, he was so nice to me when I was at Tottenham. But if there's a conversation to be had with Ledley King, you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. You shouldn't be, like, Rio Ferdinand's like one of the first, I think he might be the only centre-back in there. No, well, Tony Adams in there. Okay, well, Tony Adams. What are we doing? Are you telling me Rio Ferdinand is considered better than Nemanja Vidic? Vidic is the best centre-back the league's ever seen. Vidic was the best player in the league for 2 years. He was the best player in the league, not just the centre-back. But it's a popularity contest. And Rio, remember, is podcasting now. He's the man damn. He's in fashion. He's brilliant at social media. Like, Rio is just brilliant at the marketing thing. Like, why is David Beckham in there? And obviously, every cool Man United fan will go, oh, bro, he wasn't just about crosses. Like, a big part of his game was just crosses. Like, and work rate. Sorry, you're not telling me David Beckham was better than Freddie Ljungberg. You're nuts. As a footballer, you're absolutely insane if you think that. You're absolutely insane if you think David Beckham should be in ahead of Freddie Ljungberg. Get out of here. What are you talking about? And then I did speak to Odzila about Ryan Giggs. He's just never going to get in. And the criteria says it's only about what happens in the Premier League. But I would guess, you know, if you don't know, Ryan Giggs has had just so much controversy about GBV. Obviously cheated on his wife with his... he cheated on his wife with his brother's wife. He cheated on his wife with his brother's wife, yes. For like 18 years. Brutal. Anyway, whatever. That is what it is. So I'm guessing, I mean, first of all, pretty easy here. Don't abuse women. Like, that's pretty easy. Let's just start there. No need. Like, just no need. There's no need. There's no excuse for that. I do not know what people are doing. Just leave her. Right? Like, situations are situational, but that one, I'm sorry, in my eyes, you can't come back from. And then there was another one now. I remember when he got suspended as Wales manager. Like, okay, so Giggs is out. Like, because Giggs should be the first person in. He's the best player. Thierry Henry is the best player, but Ryan Giggs is the most accomplished player the league's ever seen, right? So, like, I'm sorry. You can't have Jermaine Defoe in the same Hall of Fame as Didier Drogba. Like, what are we talking about? We can't do that. Is the Hall of Fame or not? And some of these guys that are, what is David Beckham doing in there? What are we doing? What are we doing? Come on, guys. We can't have that. We can't have Rio Ferdinand in ahead of Steve Bould, Gary Pallister. Come on. I'm even skeptical, and I love Vincent Kompany, but how is he in there ahead of Steve Bruce? John Terry. Vincent Kompany is not better than John Terry. And the other thing is, if it's about controversy off the field, remember, John Terry slept with Wayne Bridges' lady while they were playing together. It's going to be... although, listen, there is... I know... Like, I'm not a moralist. There's worse stuff to do. Like, I can live with people, like, whatever, sleeping around. Like, whatever. I lived in that football world. Like, I know how it goes. And also, like, don't be so precious. You know, I know people are like, oh my God, my life's falling apart. Like, whatever. But the Giggs one's too far. Like, once you put hands on women, ugh. So, clearly, sleeping with someone's wife is not a problem because John Terry did it and he still got nominated. I wonder if that affected his selection, though. Keep in mind, there was also some stuff with his family selling drugs. And also, John Terry, for those who don't remember, was selling stadium tours when he was England captain, like on the side as a side hustle. A bit of a shab family, actually, the Terrys. And now, the more I've read about them, like just scumbags, like full-on scumbags. Doesn't mean he's not a great player. So I wonder if that's affected John Terry, just like being what they call in America, first ballot. So here's my criteria. Number one, don't let fans vote because it's not a popularity contest. Fans see through their heart. They don't see through their eyes. And for me, you must be undisputed the king of your position. You must be top three in your position for at least 5 years. And it obviously it'll be a balance of statistics, but I'm not crazy about statistics. Like, No, you're not going to convince me Kevin De Bruyne is a better player than Frank Lampard. He's not. Like, he's just not. But he'll have more assists and people go, oh, more, what do the youngsters say now? Goal contributions, like, whatever. That's not a real stat. So for me, that's the first criteria. Number one, don't let fans vote. Must be top three in your position for 5 years plus. And then on the panel, players that have been retired for 10 years plus should be on a panel that gets voted for. We should figure this out. And no fans voting for this. It should be figured out that this panel lasts for 5 years, right? But the player has to be retired for 10 years plus. And on the panel is five people. So it's not just three people. Like, it's five people, and there must be, we must be very clear of who voted for who as well. We must know this. And they must come and speak to us and say, this is why we voted for this person. That's why this person didn't make it. That would be my criteria. Sorry. Like, I'm not into it. So right now, this Hall of Fame is a joke. For me, it's a complete, and that's a joke. I don't respect it. I can't have Rio Ferdinand in the head of John Terry, like, and Sol Campbell. Like, do me a favor. As soon as that happened, I was like, it's just a popularity con. David Beckham. I respect David Beckham. I like work ethic. David Beckham could not lace Robert Pirès's boots in his dreams. Pirès doesn't meet the criteria, but Ljungberg. Oh, Robben. I think of, like, the wingers. Duff. Duff's a better player. I'm sorry. Peak Damien Duff. Forget it. I'm not having... Like, Dave Beckham's big thing was set pieces. He was basically... Let me give you what David Beckham was. He was Conor Gallagher work rate with Jared Ward-Prowse crossing and delivery. And he was magnificent at the delivery. Listen. David Beckham was unreal. He was one of the fittest players in the history of the Premier League. And his delivery, his early delivery. What Trent Alexander-Arnold think... what people think Trent Alexander-Arnold is to the league now, David Beckham was twice that back in the day. And he could defend, by the way. David Beckham, if you read Gary Neville's book and you listen to Gary Neville talk, was his ability to just get up and down on the right, especially peak Beckham. But he's not in the top 10 wingers to ever play in the league. People will say, yes, he is, because he's part of that United dynasty and he was such a big part of it. He's more iconic as a figure than he is as a footballer. I'm sorry. And he was exposed at Real Madrid, by the way. He went there and that nonsense wasn't going to cut it. They're like, okay, where can we hide this guy? Put him in the middle. Sorry. You know, and I'm not going to have cool Man United fans say, oh, you just don't get football. Like, I've been watching football since I was 6 years old. David Beckham is not in the same... He's not on the same planet. Not on the same planet as, like, Luis Figo in that era, by the way. He had a world-class delivery, but he was not a world-class player. Sorry. I'm sorry. He was a very good player at best. At best. The beneficiary of an incredible system at Man United. Outside of Man United, David Beckham's career was... lukewarm. Lukewarm for England. Lukewarm at Real Madrid and nothing else. And listen, I'm not going to reduce what he did. Within the team, he was a massive contributor. But he was a good player who became magnificent in a system that was just outrageous. Fergie created a system where those guys all got it. And I will not take away from fitness consistency, because that's a skill. Discipline is a skill, by the way. So I give that to David Beckham. But we can also see what a player is. Like, he's not Eric Cantona. No one's confused and thinks David Beckham is Cristiano Ronaldo. Right? No one's confused. He shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. Because David Beckham is going to have to be in the same Hall of Fame one day as Cristiano Ronaldo. What are we doing? I'm out right now. You know my criteria. Love to hear your thoughts. I think it's a good idea. But... it's become a popularity contest. I'm even lukewarm on Eric Cantona, by the way. But whatever. Like, whatever. Just let anyone in now. Like, if Cantona's in, if Cantona's in and Leonberg can't get in, I don't get it. And again, Cantona's so popular that they had to put him in. But you can't tell me Eric Cantona is a more accomplished Premier League star than John Terry, than Sol Campbell. They went invincible. I'm sorry, what? Steve Bruce. You can't write the story of the English Premier League without having Steve Bruce and Gary Palliser there. You can't. Where's Michael Carrick? I mean, I know he's been nominated, but what are we doing? How do you have David Beckham ahead of Michael Carrick? You can't. But it's a popularity contest, which is fine, by the way. If that's what it is, thumbs up. But you can't have watched football, I'm sorry, in the 90s and noughties and seen Michael Carrick play and watched David Beckham play and not realize, oh, Michael Carrick, that's a Rolls-Royce player. You can't. You can't in all good conscience. You just cannot. I'm sorry. Where's Patrice Evra? Patrice Evra is the best left back between him and Dennis Irwin. He's the best left back Man United have ever had in the modern era. I would say ever. I'll let you pick between Dennis Irwin was a hell of a player. He could play left or right. So, listen, Dennis Irwin was an unreal player. But where's Patrice Evra? And you've got Rio Ferdinand. Rio Ferdinand is not the gold standard in Premier League history for centre-backs. I wouldn't argue, he's not better than Nemanja Vidic. Vidic is the gold standard. Next is Jaap Stam. Next is Gary Pallister. Next is Steve Bruce. Somewhere there, down there, at 5 or 6 is Rio Ferdinand. Why is he in the Hall of Fame? Obviously, Jaap Stam played one season, so he doesn't qualify for the appearances, but what are we doing? You can't. Michael Carrick. And Michael Carrick isn't one of those, oh, I know football, like picks. Anyone who watched Michael Carrick. People love Rodri now, right? He was Rodri before Rodri. Clean shorts. Full game. He could play. Michael Carrick could have played the whole. And listen, I like every good man, I hate Manchester United. Michael Carrick could have played in the same shorts for the whole season. No, there's no need to dive. I'm already in the right place for tackling. And then I'm a human metronome. Like between attack and defense, it's me. It's me and Claude Makélélé in the league and we're just running this thing. It's me or Makélélé. We're the two in the noughties. We're the guys. Like if you understand how to run a midfield, like N'Golo Kant is a bit of a headless chicken. He shouldn't be mentioned in the conversation with Makélélé and Carrick. He shouldn't. Like, a wonderful player. Wonderful player, but not in the same. Like, I would say N'Golo Kante is, I'm not a car guy, but one of these fancy, like, Mazdas. You know, like a Mazda sports car. And then Michael Carrick and Claude Makélélé are a Rolls Royce. Like, they make 50 of them a year. Like a Bentley. Bentley, Rolls Royce. You know those models. I don't know the models. I'm not a car guy. But they make like 50 a year. And they don't sell it to plebs like you and me. Like, you got to be David Beckham. Like, they invite you. You know, you get an invite. You're Floyd Mayweather. You're like, you know, you're the owners of Johnson & Johnson. Woody Johnson, guy who owns the Jets. You get an invite. Hey, are you interested in purchasing this car? And by the way, I read something interesting the other day. Like, with some of these cars, is they invite you to buy it. Once you've bought it, you have to sign a contract to say you can't sell it for a while. It happened to John Cena and he sold his car and I think Ford sued him or something. Pretty interesting. Michael Carrick, what a player. What a player. For people to tell me, anyone in their right mind who thinks Rio Ferdinand's legacy in the Premier League is bigger than Michael Carrick and he's a better player, doesn't matter what position. Like, I can acknowledge, Nemanja Vidic is top five best players in Premier League history. You heard me correctly. Best players. Not just Best centre back, best players in the... Why is he not the first... He's better than Tony Adams. And I love Tony Adams. But Tony Adams is... He couldn't lace Vidic's boots. No one could. I want to put John Terry in there. Forget it. Forget it. I'd love to say John Terry is better than Vidic. Forget it. Forget it. Love to hear your thoughts at MKT Inspires. MKT at the MKT Show. Hall of Fame thoughts. Go and check it out and let me know your thoughts. I'm not very impressed. All right, let's finish off on this one. This one's it's a bit of a thing. So, I'll just tell you her first name, Lufenze. She says, "Hi, MKT. This one is for the mailbag. Firstly, I'm glad we're back to two episodes a week. I didn't want to be the one to say something, but I'm glad someone did. It was wedding season. I mean, I know I'm big on no excuses, but I was wrapped up in wedding season. I was caught up in love. You know, I nearly believed in love for a week or two, 3 weeks." And she says, "Secondly, the main point actually, my mom's friend's son recently introduced his girlfriend to her. The girlfriend is white. You will have guessed from Lufenze's name, she's black. Lufenze. 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 I think it's Lufenze. The son went to an all-boys high school, those ones in KZN. I've noticed that most black guys from these schools always go for the white ladies. Why is that the trend? Or is it simply a coincidence?" Now, we got into a little bit of a back and forth. The young guy's 22 years old, black fella. And I said, look, I would like to know. I don't know how old Lufenze is. In her picture, she looks very young, looks good. She looks very good in her picture. Good looking lady. She looks young. I'm guessing between 20 and 25, I would say. She looks young. But again, I'm old. So people younger than me just look young. Like, I don't. But Lufenze doesn't look old. She looks between 20 and 25, I would say. Lufenze, forgive me if I'm saying your age wrong. But you look between 20 and 25. So I said to her, how are the sisters? That's how I refer to black ladies when I'm trying to get under their skin. The sisters. How are the sisters feeling about this? Because I wanted to get her feeling as a young black woman about this. Because if you're not in the community, it's a bit of a thing. It's a bit of a topic in South Africa that the white ladies are taking all the good black guys. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what people are saying. I said, how are the sisters feeling about this trend? She said, personally, I don't like it because I feel as though they don't even get to know us, which is the black guys don't get to know the black ladies. As much as I hate to say it, it feels like we lower their social status, hence they don't even try. Which, when I read that, I was like, oh, wow, that's quite a thing. I'd never really thought of it like that, to be honest. Might sound naive, I genuinely have never thought. And now we'll get to my lack of having dated a black woman in my life. So it might sound hypocritical, but that's definitely not something I've ever thought. And she says, although I know some sisters who aren't even interested in these particular guys because they're typically whitewashed, which I found very, very funny because I'm whitewashed and I took it in the context she meant it. You know, I don't think... She doesn't strike me as the angry black woman here, you know? And yeah, hey, this young fella is dating, you know? Yeah. It is what it is. It is what it is. So he went to one of those high schools. So that's why I said at the beginning of the pod, I'm literally in this part because I went to one of those. I've only dated white women. So it's a powder keg topic. So listen, man, let me start off with my personal thoughts, because it's come up a lot in my life. Let me let you into my mind a little bit on this one. So for me, for those who don't know, if you don't listen to the pod, my father, so my parents got divorced when I was six. Okay. And at that stage, my mom went on to sort of finish her specialization, and she'd already finished, but she kind of, you know, I've always joked with my parents that, or my mom in particular, that the divorce was good for both of their careers, which it was, ironically, because following that, I think 3 years later, so my mom moved to Saudi, and then after finishing there, she was in the UN. Like, oh, wow, mom works in the UN now. Sweet deal. We get to fly around the world for free. Unbelievable. Game check. First class, by the way. Very nice. Very, very nice. And that was a big thing back then. Very few black people in first class back then. Very few black people in first class then. Bit of a thing. Didn't realize until I was older. Like, oh, wow, that was a bit of a thing. But my dad then moved to, at that stage, Finland. He'd kind of already been living between there and here. And my dad lived in Finland for sort of 8 years. So most of my childhood, if I wasn't at in the homelands, I was in Finland or Germany. But Germany came into my teen years. I was already formed by then, you know. So my dad left Finland, moved to Germany. So he was in Europe for 14 years after his studies, which he did in the UK. Well, his master's anyway was done in the UK. So culturally, I've always aligned and associated myself more with Finland than I do with South Africa. Like, I just, because when I grew up, I just was in Finland. Like, most of my time, most of my best memories growing up as a 6, 7, 8, 9 year old are in Finland. So, one of the things that happened quite early on was, I've always had this Hong-Honging accent since I was young. Like, grew up in what, Houghton, Bryanston. You know, for those who don't know, I guess not everyone's from South Africa. It is the suburbs in Johannesburg where mostly white people lived when I was younger. Now, Sesfiyil, Ziyasha. So even when I speak Xhosa or Sepedi, there's an accent like, ooh-wee. And, you know, when I was younger, my cousins used to joke about Lekhwa Lefihlile, the white person has arrived, which, whatever, it was funny then. And I don't know how it affected me. But one thing that did affect me was, for me, I just, like, I felt so comfortable in Finland. And I don't know, like, whatever, Helsinki's a special place. But whenever I would come home, black people would be making fun of the way I spoke, including my family, by the way. So I always felt like, oh, I just want to go to Finland, you know? Like, it's no, like, no, everyone just accepts me. I'm just going ice fishing and, like, doing crazy stuff. I'm on a snowboard. It's madness. It's mental. So, you know, culturally for me, I view the world through, because Finland is extremely, it's hyper-liberal. So I'm, you know, I've realized how patriarchal I am in my old years, but I am hyper-liberal, like across the board. You know those people like, oh, I don't see color, like, or one of those. Like I do find myself flirting in that space just because of my upbringing. Like, it wasn't a thing in Finland. Like, it just was not a thing. I never ever felt like, oh, these people are so nice to me because I'm black. Everyone's rich there. Like, my dad was probably the poorest person in my quote-unquote friendship circle. No one cared. Like, oh, dude, you're back. Sweet. Come outside. How long are you back for? Great. You know, I remember growing up thinking, oh my goodness, I can't wait to get there. Those guys are always so happy to see me. Those girls are always so happy to see me. And I was young then, so it wasn't like the girls for the reasons some of you are thinking. And I just loved it. I loved it. It's easily my favorite time of my life. Playing football may be second close, but I love, even to this day, I just love Helsinki. Oh my God. It's been actually too long, but I just love it. Every time I think about it, talking about it now makes me smile. So culturally, I'm very disconnected. So I'm giving you my personal feelings before I tell you what my friend said. My other thing is, you know, in my time when we met, keep in mind, I'm 15 years older than Lufenze's friend's son. Or mom's friend's son. In my time, is that when we were meeting these white girls, and by the way, thank God my dad wasn't a politician. You know, people just think all rich black people, you have to be a politician. And I mean, I don't come from like the Oppenheimer rich kind of family, but my dad did well. You know, unless you were on a scholarship, in my time, if you were black and you were at those schools, like it was unique. Like for a long time, up until standard nine, I was the only black person in my sports team. But at these schools, we only meet wealthy white girls, by the way. Like it's not like we're meeting somebody who's, you know, and that's a thing. Like that is a thing. It's important. Like economic status is a thing. I've always said, date in your economic class. I will not date down. I will not do. I'm not Mahatma Gandhi. I'm not going to save the world. And now in my life, I'm not a wealthy person. In fact, for my age, last year was probably the first good year in my life. But for my age, compared to my friends, I would say I'm not actually doing that well financially, to be completely honest with you. You know, like compared to my friends, a lot of them are in corporate. I do my own thing. So my life has been like up and down and up and down financially. But last year we did some big things. But I do come from like a middle class family, you know, two educated parents did okay for themselves and put me in certain echelons. So in my mind, it's non-negotiable to go below the girls I met in school. Like I just, and even then, what you've got to understand with me is I've got to be honest, I've never, ever, ever in my life, ever, not once, genuinely found a South African woman attractive, purely from a cultural point of view. Black, white, doesn't matter. I've never, ever thought to myself, oh wow, like who is this, well, actually, not entirely true, but that's a story for another time. Yeah, no, I can't really get into that whole situation, because that's currently on the boil, let's just say that. I'm not going to say any more than that. But culturally, I'm very aligned to Europe, super progressive. Like, let's just get on with it. Like, I'm not interested in your skin color. I'm not interested in your identity politic. Like, and it's something I love about meeting European women. They're just like, oh, let's get on with it. Like, I don't care about your religion. I don't care. Let's just get on with it. Like, are you a decent person? But here's the thing for me that's struck me about European or white girls in South Africa versus black girls. The white girls in South Africa are, and again, keep in mind, I've only met from a certain echelon, right? Economically doing well. I don't know if it's their upbringing, but they're quite keen to show you what they've got to offer. Not that they don't want to come to you for your expectations. Like they don't want to hear, or they're not going to come to me, or I've never had a South African white girl come to me and go, what can you do for me? They're like, this is what I've got. Come meet my family. What do you think? And if not, keep it moving. And that's fantastic for me, by the way. But there's another level to it. And I've gone through it over the years. And I've tried to discuss this with my friends, their sisters. And I try and people get upset with me. But, you know, if we're going to do this, let's do it properly. Most white girls in South Africa that I have met from the correct economic echelon, I must keep repeating that. It is important for me. They are raised to understand their role as a woman. That's very important for me. It's very important for me. Because let me tell you how I look at the world. I think as a patriarch, you must do your role so that the matriarch can do her role. But it doesn't work if the matriarch isn't coming in with the intentions of being a matriarch. Like, I could never have a yes, sir, no, sir, three bags, full, sir type of woman. Because I need a matriarch. I need someone who's a firebrand. It doesn't work for my personality otherwise. I don't do floppy, weak. Doesn't work. Get that on my face immediately. But in order to be that, I need you to be present. And I need someone to have poured into you, like, what is your role as a woman? What are you presenting? What are you bringing? Because the woman is the, for me, if we're having a grown-up conversation, you know, homeboy is 22, so he's probably not ready for this conversation. But in my eyes, the older I've gotten, the woman is the bedrock of a home. I'm not talking about, say, a jolala, I'm talking about when we get real, the relationships I've seen, doesn't matter what skin color, what culture, the woman is the bedrock. And if the young women today are not being told that, I don't know what black girls are being told right now in South Africa, but I have not felt that energy at all. And there's another layer for me that's turned me off. So I want to be honest. South African black woman, you're out to me. You're dead to me. I want to tell you why. There's an Americanization that's happened. I saw it put beautifully on social media the other day. There's this culture of indoda must. A real man must. So there's this valuing of lifestyle over family. I'm a family guy. The lifestyle thing is, if you join my family, the lifestyle thing's a part of it. Like, don't worry about it. We got that covered. Do not worry about lifestyle. You can go to Switzerland whenever you want. Don't worry about it. Like, my mom is, if you're in with my mom, especially, you're in. Trust me, your lifestyle's taken care of. But that can't lead. Those things didn't come for free. My mother had to work her hands to the bone. My father had to work his hands to the bone for those things. But without my mother raising us, my father wouldn't have been able to do his thing. Even when they were divorced, by the way. Those things are built. I come from a home where both parents work, by the way, with kids. Now, don't tell me being a mom's a full-time job. My mother didn't want to hear that. No. My mother was back at work 4 days after I was born. Back at work as a doctor, by the way. So my mom's job wasn't like tiddlywinks. Her making good or bad decisions is people dying. 4 days after I was born. True story. I mean, wait, in fairness, my mother wasn't a doctor then. She was a nurse then. Yeah, so my mom wasn't, but still, she was at work 4 days later. True story. And my mom didn't tell me that. I heard from someone else. I don't even know if she knows that I know. So you must also understand, I come from a home where I don't do expectation women. Go to work. Why aren't you working? But here's a really important thing, and it scares me and terrifies me for the black community in South Africa. The amount of black women that I meet that are doing marketing or whatever. And then I meet these white girls in South Africa. And keep in mind, again, not really my flavor, South Africans in general. But white people educate their kids properly. So, again, I'm giving you my personal feelings before I tell you what my friend said, and I'll give you a takeaway. So personally, because of the way I live my life, both of the girlfriends I've had were elite athletes, both snowboarders for their country, and then both doctors. So I can't take you seriously if you're not properly educated. And I'm also ashamed to introduce you to my parents. Like, I'm not introducing a marketing student to my mother. My mom would be great, I think. Like, my mom's always said, I just want you to be in love. And although she knows I don't believe in love, but, you know, she says, just as long as you choose this person, they welcome it. Like, my mom's great. My father would be a different story. Whatever, he doesn't really care as long as there's direction. But I'm not introducing you with a marketing or a PR degree to my family. Like, I'm just not. I'm sorry. The asterisk on that one is, you must have an established career then. Like, if you've got that, You got to be doing your thing and globally, because I can't have people thinking Cape Town or Durban's a holiday. And then I got introduced to my mother, who has negotiated deals with, you know, like warmongers around the world. And you're talking about your, like, Durban, your world ends in Durban or Cape Town. Or like, what? It would be embarrassing. And I don't want my mother feeling like she raised me to be bringing home some small-minded person. Because one thing I tell everyone, and this is why it's so much easier at the right economic echelon, is number one, raise your own kids. I'm not raising your daughter. Like, if you didn't raise your daughter, I don't want to go out to that. I'm not raising anyone's daughter. But also, the way my personality works is, can we just get on with it? Like, if I say we're going skiing, I don't need people going, woo, Gabanda, what are we doing? Like, we're too culturally disconnected. So I don't believe in opposites attract. I believe that similarities keep us together. I've told people before, if I could just copy paste myself and make myself 100 times more attractive, I would just marry myself. I want somebody as similar as me, especially with the ethos. And both of my girlfriends snowboarded for Denmark and Slovakia. And as I said, the one's a surgeon and the one is a particle physicist. Like, that's the only people I've ever introduced my mother. You must understand, like, I value what my parents put into me. And by the way, I keep telling people, I'm easily the dumbest person in my family. I come from an academic family. So I've got a chemistry degree, and I cannot tell you. My sister is an actuarial scientist / statistician, and she did her master's at Europe's leading top three university in the world for politics, right? Sciences Po. So she's an actuary. Like, my sister's an actuary. I'll let you pick. I don't like doing this, but my mom's got two doctorates, and my dad's a chemical engineer, and he did his master's in metallurgy at Cambridge. So when I bring you home and you're not an academic and you're not worldly, you feel me? And I feel like it's a bit of a thing where black ladies are expecting to be looked after, and I don't play that. So I'm giving you my personal thoughts here. These are my personal thoughts of why I am out. Like, it is highly unlikely I will marry or get involved with a South African woman in general, but black, I'm out. This Americanization and being spoiled. Someone's told young black women in South Africa that they deserve to be looked after. I'm out. I am out. I'm completely out. I'm completely out, by the way. And, you know, as I loved what Lufens says, is I am whitewashed, you know, culturally. I am. Like, I don't want to lie to anyone. I'm not like Uhuru, get my fist up in the air. And, you know, I'm open. I just want to find adults, hey. Like, do you love your family? What do you think your role is in starting a family? What is your role in keeping a family together? Like, people haven't thought about this. I talk to Scandinavian women all the time, and they're like, oh yeah, well, like, take a seat. Have I got a story for you? Like, somebody's poured their soul into these people with the stuff that I value. Because when you're in Denmark, right, let me tell you something. Going to Copenhagen and that part of the world, everyone's rich. So being rich isn't impressive. Everyone's balling. Everyone's doing it there. They've got social security that makes it embarrassing to even talk about money. So everyone's doing it. Their country pays them to travel after they study. Pays for their study. Like, don't try and come. Like, when my mom moved to Switzerland, like, I realized, oh, wow, we are part of the poverty. You move to Geneva, and Geneva's poor, Switzerland. And then you go to Zurich, you're like, oh. Like, you got to have some character. No one cares that you got money. Everyone's bawling out you. So that's my thing. Like, the money thing is important. Like, these are my personal feelings. But entitlement is a non-starter in my family. And for me, young black women, or black women in general, they're too entitled. I don't like the Americanization of expecting me to do something for you. Like, what are you going to do for me? Real men must. No. No. Because I got too many options. Like, I've just got too many options. I've got too many options of people who want to actually take this thing seriously. And if your first offering is, what are you going to do for me? That's not an alpha female move. I know a lot of women think it is. And I'm like, I don't listen to these Hey Sister podcasts. Like those Snap Fingers podcasts. I do not listen to that stuff. I'm just telling you my life position. And people, because I talk to real people in real life. And by the way, what I'm saying now, I say to all of my friends that are black and female. I say to them all the time. They ask me, how, Ganti? I say, I'm tired, guys. Tinas dinu. Ah, but. No, I'm out. That's my personal position. Let me tell you what my friend said. So I called or texted five friends. Well, actually, before I get to my friends, so I had a call with my nephew. Now, at home, they've known with me that, again, umakoti is not coming back. You're going to, if there's going to be kids, there's going to be a mixing of the paint here. Right? They've known that. They've known that since I was young. My little nephew, though, Jesus. And my aunt, who's my sister, who's my father's sister, is black. Yo, mdomnyama. What's his lali? Now, she's a chem engineer. She's balling out. She's doing all right. Her husband is a teacher. Blacker than black. So they like uhuru black, inside black. And my little nephew, I called him. I cannot actually say some of the things. So he's 23 this year. 23, I think. 23 or 24. Starting to take his life seriously, which I like to see. Some of the things he said about... And by the way, I haven't really had an influence in his life. Or maybe I have. Although he didn't meet any of my girlfriends. And I don't really bring, like, siyajola women home, you know? Some of the things he said were frightening to even me. And like I told you, I'm out. The sisters, I'm out. He is so out, though. Like, he's worse than westest. He's so much worse than I could have thought. Like, some of the things he was saying, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, is this what... Black men, young men, the next generation. So I don't know. Like, it's anecdotal. It's just one person. But if this is what he's thinking, it means it's what him and the dogs are talking about. Him and his homeboys are talking about. And he's got a... Like, I've met his mates. They are outstanding. Hilarious young guys. All across the color spectrum. But if he's thinking this, him and the dogs are talking about this at... he's at UJ. This is what they're talking about. But he is like... Like, black women do not exist to him for some of the reasons I've listed. But there was some other stuff where he is just like, absolutely not. Just absolutely not. Like, me. Like, the way he said it as well. He's like, because I said, hey, what's cooking in that world? I need to ask you something. So, yeah, you and the ladies, yeah, bro, you got a black girlfriend. Have you ever had one? Me? Like, the way he said, me? It was like I'd insulted him or something. Like I'd sworn at my aunt. He was revolted at me even asking. He's not playing that. And some of his reasons were, if you don't know my family, they'd be shocking to you. But especially on my father's side, they are extremely direct people. Now, people think I'm direct. Whew, you have no idea. You need to meet my father and then everyone waters down from there. People say I'm becoming like my father, but my father's very direct. My aunt is very direct and her son is... He's saying, no. Forget that. They are, now, I'm out. He's out. He says, they're not serious. And keep in mind, he went to Hilton. So he's meeting the same, especially now, you know, we out here. You know what I mean? It's not like it's just white girls at St. Anne's anymore. We out here now. I was Tembi, so they're out there. Or Tembi, they're out there. They're there. And even then, he is out. He's like, no ways. Now, I'm giving you the PC version of his no ways. He is F no. His words were F no. And then he just rattled off the reasons. I was like, oh, heavens. I had to compose myself after that phone call. He's 23. So I don't know if that's an overarching sentiment. I don't know if like I don't know, man. Because I'm also not in like in the public, you know? Like, I don't know if... Are black people and... Are black men and black women at war? Like, what is going on out there? Because I'm not... Like, I'll be honest. I've been out of that game for a long time. You know? I'm like... Even South Africans... Angiko lapo in terms of romance. But I didn't realize that... How far apart black women and black men had grown. Although I might be wrong. I might be wrong. What I know that is... Spoke to a friend of mine... There is a deep resentment, especially from the female side, because once black guys especially become successful, take a shot left. And listen, I've got to be honest, even my friends in South Africa, you know, I was at the wedding, like my best friend just married a colored lady with a master's, like she's rocking. And I said, Columbia lost. No, she actually went to Colorado. I was corrected by her brother. But still, big time. She's big time. You know, so as, like, proper. That's Paka. That's, we're in London, aren't we? Actually, she's proper. But she's doing a master's, you know? So even in that situation, he's, like, the closest who's playing that. The rest of them, all white. All my boys are with white ladies. So, like, I was chatting at the wedding to one of my friends. And I thought his lady, one of the things that, I thought his lady was just a yoga teacher. She's like, no. No, yoga is something I do. I'm a programmer. Like, I went to varsity as a programmer. Like, that's what I do. It's like, oh, sorry. I thought you were just, it's like, no. No, this is not, like, we're not playing here. So, like, he's balling out. And her family's balling out. She's like, no, I'm an educated woman. I'm bringing something to the table here. Let's not play around. Let's not F about you. She didn't say that, but I could see the way she was saying. She was like, no. I enjoy doing yoga. Yeah, but I'm a developer. Programmer. Like, I understand mathematics. High level. That's what varsity, you know, if you're in that IT space, those are mathematicians. So those aren't people mucking around with a BA. So I'm just telling you what it is, and that's my environment. And, you know, something I've thought about for a long time before I move on to what my friend said was often the accusation is self-hate. And for a long time, I did feel a little bit guilty until about 7-8 years ago when I turned into my 30s and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I just want adults. Like, I trust that my parents poured into me enough to see the world as I want to see it. Like, no one's going to influence what I do. Get out of my face. Like, I'm big on ethics, you know, ethos, family. Like, family, do you care about your family? And don't tell me you care about your family. Show me. Because you are what you do, not what you say. That's how I roll. People, you can say whatever you want. I'm working out really hard. Are you? Because I'm looking at your stomach. Are you? Are you working out really hard? Or are you just saying that? Because we can all say things. Are you? So there's that. I want to finish off with what my friend said. And I decided not to ask the homeboys here. I asked my South African friends, black men only, that have left. I asked, actually, I've just looked on my phone now. I asked 6 people. And there was some back and forth. But I took out the main points that I thought were useful. So they're all private school guys. All private school. All went to those schools. Those boys' schools. And here is the points that my friend said to me. They said, white women want to build. Black women want to spend and consume. So when you meet these white women, is what the guys are saying is they want to build. They want to think about stabilizing our financial situation and then what are we building for the next generation. And they said what they've noticed is, and these are guys who have dated the sisters, by the way, that the sisters just want to consume. And keep in mind, I'm guessing, I didn't really get into this, but they're dating St. Anne's, St. Mary's, St. Stidian's. They're also not the types of guys that are playing around in that sense. Or, in fact, all six of them are Yarbrough guys. So they're not, with all due respect, going for Abu Maisis Tabase Kasi or Basema Kaya. They're dating in the right economic echelon. Number two, which was close to what I felt when I was younger, is the guys say they feel judged by black people, so they don't want to enter black families. Because as they come across as, I love the description as whitewashed, they feel more accepted in the white families. So now we're just rolling. Like, life's hard enough. My mate said, life's hard enough without feeling judged by your own family. We just want to keep it rolling. If Michelle's family is going to accept me and just be like, are you a good guy or a bad guy? Can you get in the mix with the family? Life's not perfect, obviously. Let's get in the mix. So the gents say they feel judged by black people and accepted by white people. So it's just easier to get married in that situation and let's keep it rolling. A really interesting one was the lifestyle. Is that two well-off families, and all the guys said this, they don't want to look after two families. Which was really, really interesting to me because I hadn't thought of that. Again, I'm not married. Remember, when you get married, you don't marry a person, you marry a family. And the guy said, look, we've got to keep it real. We're doing well, but we don't want to look after someone else's family. And the reality of being in South Africa, my family's poor, by the way. My parents, my father in particular, got his siblings out of poverty through education. And there's six chemical engineers in my family because of him. But 99.9% of my family is poor. Like, I don't want to pretend, you know? Like, I don't want to pretend we're the Johnson & Johnson family. Because my family is extended, right? It's cousins, it's this, it's that, it's... 99.9% of my family is poor. And that comes with South Africa, we call it black tax. So the gent said, no, we're not looking after two families. We got to cut it here. I said, oh, interesting. So two well-off families can build something and live a good lifestyle moving forward. That was a big thing for the gents. But a big piece of feedback was it's not just about love. It is an economic choice. Don't date down. The guys say, all of them, they say they don't date down economically. They do not date down. They will not. They refuse. And then one of the ones that I don't know whether this is true or not, because as I said, I've been out of the sisters game my whole life, but largely deliberately over the last, I would say 12 years, like I'm tired. I don't need to be hearing about how useless I am from everyone. This last point really hit home. The guy said white women are more humble. Now, I didn't really get into that. Like, I didn't really have time. This research all happened this morning. I didn't have time to really expand on these points. So maybe I'll ask the gents to expand a little bit. Maybe we'll carry this conversation on. But this is what the guy said. And I don't know if it ties to someone teaching a woman what her role is in the family that breeds the humility. Because I think part of the Americanization, it's like when you want a woman to be humble, as I'm just speaking as me, it's not to shrink her. It's just, do you understand your role as a woman in the family? And then not only that, are you willing to do that? Because nobody's got a problem with you being a CEO. We don't know. We love that. Go and do your thing. But within the confines of home, you have a role to play. I have a role to play. And all of the guys, I say to all the guys, and I say to anyone who will listen, keeping in mind hypocrite because I'm single. But for me, no woman can do their role in a relationship until I do my role. I am the catalyst. And when everyone feels safe, then we're having a party. And I mean, listen, I know people who are married. And I come from a divorced, a home of divorce. Marriage is not a joke. It's not perfect. It's not Hollywood. It's not a Disney movie. It's not a Disney movie. But the boy said, white women are more humble. And that one hit me hard. I was like, what do you mean? So I'll try and unpack that a little more. Maybe if people are interested, we can talk about this in another pod. Or maybe this topic's boring for people. And then we'll keep it moving. An hour and 14 minutes. Still haven't finished, by the way. Might as well finish it off. To the black ladies, if you're listening to this, they're like one, maybe Lufens is like the only woman who listens to this show. Let me tell you the good news. There's a couple of good points here for you guys. My SA white friends are open to the market now. Steven and the boys are keen, bro. Bro, I'm dating Rita Pile. Sorry, what did you say? Yeah, Rita Pile, bro. She's on her way, yeah. Oh, okay, sweet. Good for you, Steve. Good for you, brother. Mixing the paint. But an overarching sentiment has been SA white guys are over the white girls. So I don't know what's going on in their communities as well. They're feeling some type of, some kind of way. Now, come on, bro. I'm over it. It's a thing. I'm telling you. It's been a constant theme with my white friends, South African in particular, for a while. And I don't mean Cape Town white, because they're a different kettle of fish. Like, I don't know what's cooking down there. But the Joburg Mandem. So those guys are open for business. But here's the reality. And this one I can tell you is the European guys and the Nigerian guys can't get enough of South African women. They cannot. They are unable to can. So your market has expanded way beyond us. So that's got to be good news. And like, again, I don't know. Are black people at war? Like, I didn't realize this was a thing. Now, for Lufenza to send me this message, it means it's a thing. Because I think she was feeling some type of way. You don't just message about that if you're not feeling some type of way and you're feeling the community is feeling that type of way, you know? Because we don't experience the world just as individuals. We first experience the world as individuals, but then we experience largely the world as a community as well. It oscillates between the individual and the community, right? We're in a social compact or a social contract, as it's sometimes known, where you give away individual rights, but you get social rights. You give away social rights, you get more individual rights. There's a push-pull at all times. So you don't experience the world as just an individual or as just as community. There's a push-pull constantly, an oscillation between the two, right? An ebb and a flow between those two states. So for me, if, again, I'm not a South African black woman, but upside, I can tell you my phone will not stop, by the way. With my European mates, it will not stop. So I'll tell you a story about my two friends from Luxembourg. I may have told it on the podcast before. I'll tell it another time. We're an hour 40 into this. But I would say, if you're an SA black woman, there's never been a better time to be alive. Because if SA black men have my attitude and wear out, oh, no worries. Keep it moving. Even better. Euros. Oh, are you kidding? And listen, that Americanized life that you want to live, you want to be going to Dubai? Like, you know, Indotamast. That life you guys want to live, the Nigerian guys will provide that. They don't mind producing the changura up front at all. They will provide that. And for me, I'm not the president of South African black men, but I'm not resentful, by the way. Like, I think some of my friends presented like, oh, I should be resentful. I'm like, oh, go for it. I'm in the international market. You should be too. Why should I limit people? Because ultimately, one thing I tell everyone, people will go where they feel loved, whether the love is real or not. If people want to start blaming each other, there's enough blame to go around. But one thing I will guarantee you, the world will never change. Especially in modern society. People will go where they feel loved, whether that love is real or not. That is where people go. And there's another great saying. I'll finish off on this. You know, it's such a great... I don't want to play around with the saying because it's a real thing. You know, and it's a tricky one. You know, it is a tricky one because love, again, individual, community, right? But the old adage is the child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. Say it one more time. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. That is to say, if people do not feel love from those that they seek love from, they will destroy that environment in order to get a response. Good or bad. So I don't know if that's what's going on. But I'm happy for everyone. I'm happy for everyone. As long as you're getting what you want. So if you want the Dubai life, you want Indorta must, a real man must, you want that, fantastic. Why do you care where it comes from? So those are just my thoughts, man. And I think the end is it's positive for South African black ladies because you are a hot commodity right now, globally, by the way. When I went to Paris, lots of inquiries. European and Nigerian guys cannot get enough. And there's an undersupply. So ladies, I would say right now, it's for you, it's a seller's market. So you might say for the Europeans and the Nigerian guys, it's a buyer's market. Because the ladies might be feeling, oh, there's an oversupply of us. All the good men are taken by the white girls. Oh, man. All right, well, that one's a bit of a doozy. It's a bit of a serious one, but it's real life. This is what's happening. This is what is happening. At MKT Inspires, at MKT, at the MKT Show, by the way. That's the email. MKT at the MKT Show. Otherwise, MKT Inspires on the socials. Would love to hear your thoughts. Did not realize. Oh, by the way, saw a friend of mine celebrating his anniversary. Speaking of couples, you know, old Sticks. Just want to give him a shout out. I think it's his 20th or 16th wedding anniversary. Last Friday. It was on Good Friday. Good for you, Sticks. 16 years. Imagine being married for 16 years. And marriage is not easy, guys. Please stop watching Disney movies where there's a beginning, a little bit of struggle, and then everyone's happy at the end. Not a real thing. What is it the Bible says? And I'm not, again, he is risen. I get it, but I'm not religious. But there's a tremendous verse of you have to die unto yourself each day in order to become one flesh or whatever it is. Like that's, especially now in this individualist society, me, 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 I want to be happy. I want to love. I want to be loved. This is how I want to be loved. If you don't do this every day and you're not perfect like an Instagram husband, you're out. In that world, to make a choice for 16 years, Kholofelo, Sticks, Sibati. Good for you, dude. Good for you. Happy anniversary. Black love. Hey, how about that? How about that note to end off on? 16 years Sticks has been with his beautiful lady and he keeps fighting for it. And she keeps fighting for it. And they have children. And they have a family. and they're sticking together. You love to hear it. You love to hear it. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you've enjoyed this. A bit of a doozy, 149. It's going to be 2 hours. The numbers surely will drop for this. There's no way 6,000 people are going to listen through this. Impossible. Impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is MKT. This has been the MKT Show. And for now, I am the hell out of here.